Get to a great start, in this year of the prolific church, as you contemplate these seven important points.
I want to discuss seven points that you're going to be considering in this year of the prolific church.
Listen and be blessed.
Number six, our faith. One of the challenges that many people face is the temptation to commonize the message of faith. And the language, the jesting language with which they communicate their way of talking about the message of faith also shows you where they are in life. Don't make fun of the message of faith. Faith towards God is holy. It's holy. Faith toward God is holy. And if you make light of the message of faith, you'd find that you are unable to demonstrate true faith toward God in simple things of life. And then it gets into the difficult areas. For example, when you face challenges with your health, now you don't know what to do. Like it's too late to start learning faith. Now you're panicking. And now you're needing more prayer. Faith must be treated, faith toward God must be treated as holy. It's holy. Don't make jest of it. Build your faith strong. Not when you face the crisis. When do you build weapons of war? In the time of peace. You build the weapons of war in the time of peace. Not at the time of war. Time of war is too late. You build the weapons of war in the time of peace. You build your faith strong when everything is all right. That's when you build your faith strong. Faith for your finances, faith for your health, faith for everything. You build your faith strong. You don't start talking faith when you get sick, even though it's okay. But by then, you're not building faith. You've made a mistake already. If you were already in faith, it probably wouldn't have come in the first place. And if it came, you'd have repelled it with your faith that you have built. So build your faith now. Build your faith now. Build your faith now. You build your faith through the word of God. Consume God's word. Digest it into your spirit. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you, what? Richly. Richly. Don't wait for trouble to come. Don't wait for trouble to come. Because trouble will come to everybody. It's how you deal with it. Trouble has come to me many times, but you see, I dealt with it in such a way that it didn't know himself anymore. He didn't know whether he was trouble. Yeah, I made him lose his identity. Yeah. You have to do that. You have to do that. You have to do that. Caleb and Joshua, what did they call the giants? The bread. Call them bread. As far as Joshua was concerned, they lost their identity. He said, don't be afraid of them. They are bread for us. Those guys call them giants. He said, no. They don't have that identity with us. We decide who they are. I'm facing a crisis. Change his identity. When he arrives at where it arrives at your door, he loses his identity. I like the way that there's a way the Beanies greet. It's a nice one. Though I'm not quite sure now whether it's for morning, afternoon, or evening. See, they say, Domo. Who speaks Beanie here? Anybody? What's Domo? It's a greeting to an elder. Ah, okay, good one. So imagine that the Mr. Crisis or trouble of any kind came to your door. The moment you open, he said, Domo, sir. He has lost his identity. He came to oppress you. He came to trouble you. His name was Trouble. But when he got to you, he didn't know whether he was Trouble. I don't know my name again. Domo, sir. He will do Domo at your door. Yeah, the reason that Benin one came to me was the door. Door and Domo. I knew you won't forget that. He will do Domo at the door. Yeah. He'll lose his identity. Can't remember himself. Remember when I said, welcome trouble. Why? Because when he gets to you, he's no longer trouble. He is bread. Eat him up. The moment you open the door, say, Say, I've been waiting for you. Say, Domosa. Hallelujah. So, build your faith. Build your faith, your personal faith. Your personal faith. Say, I have faith. I have faith. My faith is working. 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 My mind is open. My mind is open in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, I've told you something before. The mystery of giving and receiving. You know, sometimes I explained this to you before. And I'm not sure which particular forum, but certainly many of you here would have heard it. You know that the way God thinks is not the way man thinks. We have to learn to think like God. But the only way we can think like God is by knowing His Word. If we study His Word, we'll see how God thinks. So imagine you were in need of something. Let's even say you were not in need, but somebody that you know very well, maybe a cousin, maybe a friend, maybe someone that works with you, all right? Maybe even at work, you were given a certain gift or of any kind, whether in money or in kind, whatever. Because you know all these channels, you may not call them, you may not attribute this to God. You may not think it was from God. Because this is human reasoning. If it was from a total stranger, then you want to believe it's God, right? It's easier to believe that was God. Because you don't know the man. You don't know the person. He just came from, like, oh, he just came from nowhere. I didn't even know the guy. He just sent me this thing. So, because you want it to be more like supernatural. But you see, that is man's carnal way of thinking. It is his worldliness. He thinks that's what God would rather do. But he is wrong. He is so wrong. God prefers to bless you through people that know you, through people that are associated with you, through people that are connected to you. And I'll tell you why. If you think that the one that you didn't know was supernatural, he often does that when he doesn't find someone who knows you, who is listening. Because every time someone gives to you, that person becomes greater than he was before. He doesn't want to make strangers greater against you because they'll destroy you. He wants those that are connected to you to become greater. That's the way he promotes them. That's the way he increases their abilities, their capacity, their influence, their authority, their wealth. Because at the end of the day, they'll be the ones that will support you in whatever you do. If he does it to strangers, they will multiply against you. So if you would rather that God use someone you didn't know, you are asking the blessings that accrue to the giver to go to the strangers. Can you see it? So one of the reasons you pray for those that are connected to you, you pray for them. You bless them. They get greater by your prayer and by their giving. They get greater. And you have to recognize that when they do such things, that's God at work. Then you thank God on their behalf. Because that's what God gets out of it. God gets the praise. So, but because you didn't think it was from God, you didn't praise him as much. So he got nothing out of that. You would rather praise him for the one he prefers not to do. Are you there? See, when you know the scriptures, you would think like God. But if you're ignorant of the scriptures, you won't think like God. Now, from euthanasia, they planned something else. They've come up with at a certain point, they present you. It's supposed to be an option for death. Now, you're supposed to be presented. Like, look, medically speaking, you cannot live more than 3 months. So we have options. It will cost you and your family XYZ thousands or millions of dollars for the next 3 months. So you better weigh it whether it's worth it or not. Why leave your family in debt? So much accrued debt because you have only 3 months to live. Or we can terminate your life now in a simple and nice way. Two doctors will be required to sign, and that'll be all. And you can say goodbye in a beautiful way to all your family members. And okay, you're not going to leave. Okay. Then the family members come. They've been told, why allow him to live the next 3 months when it's going to cost you $1.5 million? Listen, this has been passed in Canada. There are other governments who are approving this. It's called a fight against hope. You can't hope because the government says you can't live more than 3 months. The experts have said so. So now we have the best option for you. We take your life. This is part of the depopulation policy. It's part of it. So from two doctors required to sign, we don't know how many more are going to be signed when the sick was not even consulted. So with this kind of document, he's too sick to sign, so he won't sign. And family, listen, Remember, one of the policies at COVID was to destroy family relationships. Remember, they buried people without their families being involved. They were not even allowed to see them. They just heard, he's dead, it's COVID, so don't worry, go back home. You couldn't see him before death. Now he's dead, you can't see him. You can't carry his body. That happened during COVID. So where is this headed to? A sick family member has been taken to the hospital. You never hear from him again. Why? Two doctors have signed his death. And then they will now arrest others who they don't like. They were not sick. They've taken him away. They've taken her away. You are informed, if they need to inform you at all. He's sick and has been transported to so isolation center. It's over. You never hear from him again. We are looking at governments crafting wicked and evil laws for the extermination of billions of people around the world. And make no mistakes about it, this is real. This is real. When I first told you about what was in the documents that they were passing from nation to nation, some state security people wanted to know where I was getting my information. Anyway, in the months that followed, the same document arrived in Nigeria. And everything I said was inside. What I just told you now is actually the game plan. Those scientists don't have any sense. They don't know what they're doing. The guys that are funding the research have a completely different agenda from the scientists that are coming up and saying this is what they think they are doing an honest job. And it's their argument that we presented to others. It's the narrative that we presented. But what will it be used for? We're talking about weaponization of very innocent tools. You find a knife in the kitchen. It's supposed to be used for cutting meat, right? It's a kitchen tool. Someone picks it and stabs another with it. Was it the knife that did it? No, it's the mind of the user. Question is, what will they use it for? So before we race to endorse something that's been done, let's ask ourselves, what is the law regulating this action? And who are those crafting the law? Especially knowing that we have rogue lawmakers and fake ones. Our world is in a state today, my brothers and sisters, requiring true intercession. The Bible tells us that in the last days, the major thing that you're going to see, the major trend, will be deception. And not just deception, but at global scale. We're dealing with deception at the highest levels. The Bible talks about deception of the nations. Satan deceiving the nations, not just individuals. He says, by this devil, this Satan, nations were deceived. Nations. How do you deceive nations without deceiving their governments and their peoples? So, You don't just fall in love with what they're telling you. No. What does God think? What does God think about this thing? What they're doing? Especially when you find an action that already goes contrary to what the scriptures state. Are you still there? Okay. One or two more points. What number are we? Yeah, that's number six, right? And number six is about what? Faith. Our faith. Number seven. I told you there's seven. Number seven, our place. We must recognize our place. We must recognize our place. For example, in certain families, most families, especially when you look to the Bible, you see the reflections of that truth. If you are the first son in the family, you have certain responsibilities that are different from the others, generally speaking. Every other person that takes on such responsibilities is either by some form of maybe maybe some divine placement where you find the younger greater than the elder. It does happen, and it did happen in Bible days as well. But generally, God gives responsibilities as he finds fit. And when you are given a place with respect to others, you need to know that place. Like you say, I'm the first daughter in my family. So as the first daughter, you just know that you have some responsibilities. In fact, you have to abdicate those responsibilities for someone else to take your place. And where a junior or younger became greater than the elder in scripture, there was a specific prophecy going to it. There was a specific guidance in it to show that it was not so natural. Do you get it? We had to be told. So it was not so natural. Meaning that God actually wants people to know their place. So when it was not natural, God spoke. God said something so that those individuals within the vision of the Abrahamic covenant would know their place and act accordingly. You still there? Some time ago, I told you that one of the things that the church, I think it was during one of the Your Love World specials, I said that one of the things that the church must take seriously and work with is protagonism. Protagonism. We must know that the Lord has given us a certain kind of leadership. We must know. If we don't recognize it, we will abdicate our responsibility. We have to recognize it, and we have to act accordingly. We've been given a place of leadership. In the world. And so, in this drama, which the kingdom of God is part of in this earth, we must realize that the Lord has made us and expects us to function as the protagonists. That makes us pace setters. It makes us pace setters. It makes us trailblazers. This means that we must
be ready to do the impossible,
the unthinkable, the unimaginable. Remember, at the time that the world thought that the church should have gone under, God brought us into the extraordinary. And the church saw the unthinkable. The impossible. The unimaginable. Who would have thought that any one group will be ministering to more than 1 billion people every time? They come out every time, they're ministering to over 1 billion people. Who would have thought? Who would have thought that in this world, you'd have a healing program with billions of people around the world connected? Who would have thought so? The unimaginable. It still beats their imagination. Some can't put this together. They can't understand it. Even in our own midst, even among us, we have even from among our own people who have doubts. Because they were trained to believe the world more than the word of God. So based on the information they have from the world, it's hard for them to reason correctly spiritually. How can they believe? Jesus said, how can you believe who receive honor one from another, and not the honor that comes from God alone? They believe in human honor. He says, how can you believe when you base your life on human honor and not the one that comes from God? For example, when they told us the official figure for all the living language of the world, 7,139. And we ran with that. But because we are genuinely interested in saving souls, actual souls, that's why we went out seeking the people and their languages and documenting the languages, only for us to find more than 700 undocumented by them. More than 700. If seven would have been big enough, would have said seven, we found seven new languages. Seven. 70 would have been huge. And we would have been saying, how could they have left 70 out? No. We found more than 700. In fact, there was a publication the other day of certain countries that revised their national population. They did. Some of you would have seen it. They revised their national population upward. Maybe after they heard what I said, they went to check. Yeah, because I told you that the figures they're giving are wrong. What are these figures? Just go to world population. You see the clock running. Fake. Because the clock is set on some formula. No, if you didn't go to school, you believe that. But if you went to school and you understand science and mathematics, you know this is stupid. So what they've done is to give you what you call an assumption. You remember the C constant? So, you can't live your life on assumptions. You can't live your life on assumptions. But would they have thought that in our day, we would even set such a goal and say, every language, maybe we were the first, who knows, first to dare say we're putting a material in every language with a definite time. We said, by the end of this year, in 2022, we said, we will have Rhapsody of Realities in every language of the world. We were definite. We had faith. We believed it. And God gave us all the resources to make it happen. And we did. That was unimaginable. Unthinkable. But God gave us the vision that yes, you can do the impossible. And you see it. And you say, Father, I welcome it. I see it. Every natural thing says, no, 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 that can't happen. No, 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 no. I see it. It can be. It can happen. It can happen. Don't forget who we are. We come from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Don't forget David, Solomon. Don't forget where we come from. You have to just look at our lineage of faith. See who we really are. Then you go to Hebrews chapter 11 and read about and understand who we are. the men and women who have a history of the impossible, the unimaginable, the unthinkable. Hallelujah. So in 2023, that we are already in that realm. And because we're already in that realm, we can't go down. It's up. Forward. More. Come up with solutions for the biggest transformations. You see, I'm talking about protagonism. One of the areas where some of our people have made blunders, they keep thinking about, like, maybe how to make an app that can make them make money. All right? So they're looking for apps for business to make money. They think about money. God doesn't think like that. They don't understand money. Right from 2004, I began to explain to the church what God also told me. He said, there's no such thing as money. If you listen to those messages, you will hear them. In 2004, I told you. I said, money only exists in the mind of the poor. There's no such thing as money. It exists only in the mind of the poor. Money is all about numbers. But if you think like that, you lose. Money is the game that the rich play against the poor. And so when I told you about the dollar backed by nothing, they just print. I think some can easily relate that. So if in your life all you're thinking about is how to make new money, you are losing. You are on the wrong side. You're not different from the world. You're on the wrong side. You should be thinking of what the solutions for taking the message forward. Solutions for making our work grow. Solutions. When you think like that, and we make the things happen that should be happening through the gospel of Jesus Christ, you will not be poor. It's impossible to be poor. You won't be poor. You won't have little or less for long. Not for long. Not for long. There's a time that what you have may not be a lot. But if you get these kind of things done, your position will not be for much longer. Why? Because God promotes. There's a term in the Bible that's quite interesting. In Genesis chapter 8, verse 1, he says, and God remembered who? Noah. In Genesis chapter 30, verse 22, And God remembered Rachel. And God hearkened to her and opened her womb. God remembered Rachel and opened her womb. Are you there? In Exodus chapter 2, verse 24, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. God remembered. God remembered. It says, and God remembered. There are things you do for God that move his work forward. No response from God as at yet. But you make that thing happen as it is changing lives at the point, the Bible says, and God remembered. Then it's time. Why? Because he has his book of remembrance. And he writes in his book of remembrance. According to I read that to you before in Malachi chapter 4, you see it. When God opens his book of remembrance, it says, and God remembered. Did he forget? No. It's not remembering because he forgot. It's God's timing. Now it's time to call to mind. And God remembered. So what is it that you may have done that God needs to remember? You should do things that God can remember. Things that are remarkable for the gospel. How is this thing going to go forward? What's the next thing to be done?
We trust that you've been blessed by this message. For more uplifting messages by Pastor Chris, download the Pastor Chris Digital Library app.